But the idea that things just keep popping up, and so it's never ending, that was not common really back then. He knows that the powers that be are expecting to find the one problem and eliminate it. And now I got to show you, you'll never get rid of us. Hey y'all, welcome back to the Fast Forward Podcast. In today's Out of Scope episode, I wanted to spend time talking about a movie. I think I saw it when I was younger, but it just came up on one of these streaming services and I watched it and I was like, oh, this is good. And that movie is The Siege. It's a movie from the late 90s. I think it technically came out in 2000. But it stars Denzel Washington, which, you know, is always going to be good when he's in it. And Tony Shalhoub is in it, too, which is one of my favorite actors as well. He's always so good and stuff, no matter if it's something that is supposed to be comedic or dramatic. He's just such a great actor. It also stars Annette Bening as Sharon Bridger / Elise Kraft. It's a whole thing. It's just all about espionage and geopolitical conflicts and all of this stuff. So I thought this was really important. Because in the conversation around conflict management, remember I mentioned that you have these localized conflicts, so it could be on teams or between two romantic partners or two friends or a parent and a child. But then you also have these wide scale, whether national or regional or global geopolitical conflicts. And in the movie, the actual villain shifts constantly. So first the villain is a country or a religion or a region or a terrorist. Then the villain becomes an overbearing military leader. Then the villain becomes the president a little bit because that person won't take action. And then Bridger, Annette Bening's character, becomes the enemy and the villain. And it constantly shifts, which in and of itself is fascinating because that's how conflicts go a lot of times. Who you think or what you think or the ideology that you think is the villain might not actually be the villain. And so the villain that I chose to actually discuss today is Samir. And I say Samir because by the end of the movie, he's like kind of like a clear villain. Or an obvious villain, but I want to talk about his villainous traits because I think that Samir had a deep understanding of how ego blinds people. He also had an understanding of ego's need to find a clear villain. And he also had an understanding of the ways in which people underestimate the power of collective purpose. So, ego blinds people, right? Because they start with the questioning of him. So this is both Agent Haddad and Agent Hubbard. So that's Denzel Washington and Tony Shalhoub's character. They start by questioning him and punching him. And you signed off on the visa and you did this. And when he was able to easily say, yeah, but I just did it because I'm one of the only people that can do it. Like, I do this all the time. It was so easy for them to say, oh, well, he's such a small person in this grand scheme of important actors in this geopolitical conflict that it couldn't have been him. And he knows that they'll overlook him because he seems too small to be impactful. He also knows that Bridger's character is going to be blinded by this bleeding heart of her own unwillingness to admit that she actually is a part of the villain story. She doesn't want to believe that her role is a part of a villain arc, but it is, right, in the grand scheme. So remembering some of the earlier episodes, I mentioned those third, fourth, fifth degree consequences. The reason why you need to look at those is because you might be the hero in consequence level 1 and might be the villain in consequence level 4. And so if you don't plot out how that story fits all together, you're going to run into some issues. So he knows that she'll be blinded. He also knows that forces or powers, such as politicians, the military, they need to have a clear enemy. And they like singular enemies. So now we're very used to like terrorist cells. Like that's not uncommon for us to think that you got a whole bunch of little pop-ups of things that are united only by ideology. But back when this movie was made, because this was even before 9/11, that was kind of unfathomable for the general public, right? Like it was like, no, our enemy is this country, our enemy is this leader, our enemy is this thing, it's this singular entity. But the idea that things just keep popping up, and so it's never ending, that was not common really back then. And so he knows that the powers that be are expecting to find the one problem and eliminate it. So when he says at the very end, there will never be a last cell, because what we're doing is based on an ideology. And the fact that you keep trying to eliminate cells, that's really just making us more and more mad. And that's making us more and more determined to get revenge on you, because you keep thinking you can eliminate us, not as a people, but as an ideology. And now I got to show you, you'll never get rid of us. And that blindness never gets resolved in a movie. And I think that that was on purpose, because again, this movie was made literally 25 years ago, and we still having the same issue. If anything, it's gotten worse. He is also aware of the fact that their egos need to have a clear focus. Like their egos cannot sit with conflicting information and conflicting ideologies. They are very one-dimensional. And so even when you look at Denzel Washington's character's response, you know, when the bus gets blown up and he's like, this is horrible, we gotta address it. Then when they, it was something like with a school, all of these things, yeah, he's upset about it. But when that federal building gets taken out, and it's 600 of his coworkers, now he fighting mad, and he's ready to do anything. He's willing to go against his morals, his principles, his standards, his moral code, because now it has hit what matters to him. Samir recognizes that because the quote unquote good guys refuse to sit with nuance and layers, and they are so one-dimensional, it's easy to play them. It's super easy to play them, because all he got to do is move with a slight nuance. And that's what he keeps doing. He keeps tricking them at their own game because they're looking for the thing. And then finally, he recognizes that there is power in collective purpose. Like, when we are united behind an idea and not a person, we can accomplish anything. We can overcome and navigate any conflict. And it's interesting because a part of the movie's setup is that they end up just rounding up all of the men of a particular ethnic group, right? Or what they might think is nationality or religious belief, right? They just pick these arbitrary pieces of identity and quite literally throw people in camps. And it's never solving the problem, right? Because what unites the quote unquote bad guys is the purpose that they're driven by. And that purpose is not even religion. It is not nationality. It is not ethnicity. It is the idea that we won't let you dismiss us, ignore us, get rid of us. And you will have to acknowledge and pay for what you did to us. Now, obviously, you know, I am not advocating at all for terrorism, harming people, all of that stuff. But what I am emphasizing for the purposes of understanding conflict management as a leader is that some people are not motivated by money, promotions, recognition, reward. Some people are simply motivated by the fact that they have a right to think what they think, and they have a purpose behind what they think, and they not gonna let you move them off of their ideological square. And if as a leader, you are only looking to manage conflict through to this very narrow view of what you come to believe, you are going to cause more harm than good. Because again, as Samir says, there is never a last sale. And if you notice, like if you've ever worked on a job and let's say you had a problem employee, they cause a problem with everything. They don't do their work, or they rude to everybody, or they sabotage stuff. And then you're like, you know what? I'm going to just bring in somebody new and then get rid of them. And then they retire. Maybe you fire them. Maybe you move them to another department. And then the new people come in, and either existing folks start acting like the person who was the troublemaker, or the new people start acting like them. Like, how is it? Because it's an ideology that's at play. It's a purpose that's at play. And until you root out the problematic elements of the purpose, you're going to keep seeing that tree sprout leaves because you haven't gotten to the root. It's interesting because when I, like I said, I just watched a movie recently and I was like, man, we still dealing with this today. Like, it's the same thing. Like, I see so much of this in every phase of my life watching, again, global geopolitical conflict. But the root of it is based on this movie. Let me say this. In this movie, the root is the fact that a group of people felt like, you just coming over here doing anything to us, and then you won't even acknowledge our right to exist and have autonomy and have authority over the direction of our lives. And if you think about it at work, that's why a lot of people be lashing out. The folks who will sabotage a project, the folks who will pick fights with, you know, emerging leaders or star players, then people be picking fights because they feel ignored, they feel overlooked, they feel undervalued, and they gonna cut a fool until they feel like you see them. And so again, what I want to emphasize to you as a leader is that sometimes the obvious problem is not the problem. Sometimes the problem is the purpose and the ideology behind the problem. And it would behoove you to develop techniques and systems and strategies to get to that, build that trust and that intimacy with your team so that they feel comfortable divulging to you what's really the problem, what's really going on, so that you can actually resolve the real issue instead of just trying to trim off little leaves. Because again, there is no last sale until you get to the root of what's happening. All right. That's what I got for you. What do you think? Do you like this movie? Did you see this movie? Go check it out. It's on one of them platforms. It was free because, y'all, I don't pay for TV no more. They ain't getting another damn out of me. So it is on something that is for free on one of these streaming services. So go check it out and let me know down in the comments what you think. How do you feel about getting to the root of conflict? And what does that mean for how you show up as a leader? All right. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Of course, be sure to like, share, and subscribe. And I will catch you in the next one. Bye.